It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin reading with the 44th verse, verse 44 in Matthew chapter 13. That's where we're going to begin. And so please open your Bibles and we'll prepare for the study. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. That's 847-2717. I'd love for you to visit our website. It's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Love for you to take a look at that site, enjoy that study there. It is so important that you can see and find the means of studying the Word of God. And there are many Bible studies there for you to enjoy and for you to be introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ and also then to begin that wonderful growth, knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. So please that you would do that. And then if you'd like to, why, please email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. And unless you ask me to, I do not respond back. And so don't think because you've emailed me or you mail something, a letter to us or something like that, that then you will be on our mailing list, because that does not happen. You just please, we want you to help to grow. And if you want me to respond, that's fine. If you don't, that is just fine too. So, but I want to help you to grow. So please that you give us that opportunity. Now, I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles. We got just three verses here that we're going to read today and hopefully get through those three verses. Matthew 13, verse 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man, a merchant man, seeking a goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That'll be the end of the reading of the scripture. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to come today. Enjoy this precious study together. Guide and lead us each and every day, each and every minute, Father, please. It's such a joy to be a child of God, to be born again, to have my sins forgiven, and to be able to enjoy and walk each day in joy, in peace, knowing you as our Lord and Savior, knowing that we can and are guided and led by you. Father, please, just speak to all the hearts. Bring them to your Son, the Lord Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary to take our sins away, and we need to come by faith knowing that, believing that, that we are a sinner, and that we need to be saved, and Jesus is the only means of salvation. Please, Father, just speak to all our hearts today as we study this precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. As we have studied this, but I do like to review. If you've been with us before, you know that, you realize that. It's so important because we need to go through these things repeatedly so that we understand and know them. The treasure here that we speak of in the 44th verse is the nation of Israel. The Israelis, they are the ones that we're talking about here. And we know that as they were hidden in the field is, stands for the world, and this divine merchant that buys the field because of there is a treasure there, because the nation of Israel's there, the beloved God, the Father, purchases this. Now, it says it hides them, and that seems maybe strange to you, but if you'll remember, the Lord Jesus, God the Father, through his Son, gave everything to the nation of Israel. It gave them land. It gave them wealth. It gave them health. It gave them everything. All they needed to do was to serve him and praise his precious name. But instead of that, they began very early. They began to worship idols, begin to come up and make their own religion, and that's what they have done today. They have established their own religion, their own doctrine, contrary to the Word of God. Many, many churches have done the same thing, have followed that same suit. But in the case of the nation of Israel, it was God's chosen. Jesus is born through the line of Israel. He was a Jew. God has chosen those people, and that's the reason the world hates them so much. That's the reason that so many lands and countries, and even people in our land, hate them, because they are God's. They are not God's singular, they are God's possession. They are God's possession. Now, because of their disobedience, God set them aside. But there will be a time when there's going to be joy. The treasure is hid in a field. Jesus will find them. It's during the tribulation period, or in the church age right now, the church will be raptured, taken up, all born-again believers. Basically, the church is made up of Gentiles. There'll be some Jews that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ that also will go with us at the time and will be raptured. What a joy that'll be. We'll go into the presence of the Lord. For 7 years, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, but there's going to be a tribulation period here upon earth. That 7 years, and especially that last 3.5, is going to be the worst that a man can imagine. But during that time, God's going to send out 144,000 preachers, 12,000 from each tribe, and they will come and proclaim the truth, the Word of God, not the doctrines that the Jews have established, not the doctrines that many other churches and religions have come up with contrary to the Word of God, but the truth. And that truth will bring multitudes of Jews and Gentiles, but multitudes of Jews especially, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That'll happen during that tribulation period. And that's what this is saying. That's what that verse 44 is telling us. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, that the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Jesus has purchased those people. He's purchased them. And there's going to be a time, there's going to be a multitude of them that have went to hell, the place of torment, awaiting the judgment and awaiting eternal fire because they have rejected the Savior. But God has kept that nation together. Without a land, without property, without a king, without a president, without anything, he has kept the nation of Israel intact. And in 1948, they were given a portion of their land back. And they once again became a nation that could be recognized. But God always did. God never forsook them. And there'll be a time, and that time is that 7 years of tribulation. That period of time, and that period of time is at the close of the age. We're in the church age right now, and then there's going to be the tribulation period, and then there's going to be a 1,000-year millennium. Now, there's six times in the book of Revelation it speaks of 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. It's so important that we understand that, because the word millennium, millennial reign, those things do not exist, but the 1,000 years means the same thing. So we have maybe changed the word, but that's exactly what it is. And there'll be that 1,000 years of joy and peace, and he will rule with a rod of iron during that time. But before that period of time, that millennial reign of Christ, that 1,000 years begins, there's 7 years of tribulation. We've got to be very close to the rapture of the church. And the reason for that, many, the scientists, because they do not believe that we have a God that has created all things, including man, spoke, breathed life into man. They deny that. They think we have evolved, and so they have to come up with these millions or billions of years of existence. But in truth, this world is only 6,000 years old. 4,000 years before Jesus came to earth, and then 2,000 years since then, we are coming to the close of that 6,000th year. Now, everything is set on seven. Seven is the word of completion, of perfection. Six is the year, is the number of man. So we are at and in that 6,000th year. And that 7 years of tribulation will be in that period of time, the 7 days. And so you see, we're waiting on that sabbatical year, the seventh year, the year of peace, the year of joy. And that year, the scripture is very clear, to our God one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So we can look at a physical week that God has set up, and that creation took place in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. It's the same thing with us. We're in the 6,000th year, we're in the sixth day, and that 7,000th, that seventh day, or the 7,000, the 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ is to come. So we've got to be very, very close. God has shown us these things very clearly. And during this tribulation period, God will bring, and there'll be joy back. He has sold everything. What has he sold? He has given his own life. He has paid the ultimate price for Israel. He has shed his precious blood. What a joy. What a joy. Now, this next verse, the sixth mystery, this is the fifth mystery, as it tells us here. Now, the sixth mystery is very exciting to see. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And very similar to up in verse 44, selleth all that he hath and bought the field. He purchased that. He bought and paid for the nation of Israel. Well, what about this pearl? What about the pearl? It is such a joy to study the Word of God. You know, we find that by the right of purchase, as well as by the right of creation, the world belongs to Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason that we need to give him all the praise and all the honor, because he has purchased this for you and for me, that we can live. And I pray that you have trusted in Jesus Christ, and you're not missing this opportunity. You're not trying to do something on your own. And we're going to see that here in just a few minutes with what we've just studied. But first, I want to go to the book of Psalms, Psalms 24, verse 1. 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Who owns it? I don't own it. You don't own it. The devil claims it, but he doesn't own it either. Our Lord God owns it. And once again, the joy, just a few minutes here before we move on to the first 45. The joy here is the result of the fact that Israel will be restored. I've got just a couple of verses of scripture that I want you to see. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13 says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted." You see, that's a promise that's coming to the nation of Israel, because they sure have been afflicted. 52, chapter 52 of Isaiah. This is much in Isaiah. Chapter 52, verses 1 through 3. "Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money." Verse 8 of that same chapter, "Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, hath redeemed Jerusalem." Oh, what sweet, sweet verses. And we'll just continue here. There's so many. I hope you turn back to Isaiah, thinking maybe there are just one or two there, but there's several. Chapter 62, Isaiah 62, verse 4 through 7. "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate." Isn't that wonderful? Sweet verses of scripture. "I have set watchmen upon thy walls," verse 6, "O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent, and give him no rest, till he establish and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Beautiful verses of scripture. Just continues. 65. Chapter 65, verses 18 and 19. "Be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, the joy of my people. And the voice of weeping shall no more shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Wonderful scripture verses. There's a great promise for the nation of Israel, and that promise is coming. But we need to see that we understand that, and we support the nation of Israel as they are so abused and beaten, waiting for that precious day. But the Lord has not forsaken them. They have forsaken the Lord, but the Lord has not forsaken them. And there'll be a day. Now down to verse 45, I may have read that a little too early. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking a goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Jesus purchased the treasure of the nation of Israel, as we have just said. Now here, the kingdom, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking a goodly pearls. This merchant man is none other than the Lord Jesus. Seeking goodly pearls. Come into the world. The pearls are always found in the bottom of the sea. The sea in the scripture, it's oh so much joy to study the word of God and to understand it, because the sea in the scripture will always stand for the Gentile world. So out of this Gentile world, we find the Lord Jesus seeking this precious pearl, one pearl of great price. Did the same thing he did back in verse 44. When he found it, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Once again, selling all that he had, paid the ultimate price. As he did for the nation of Israel, he died to save us. He gave his life to save us. He shed his blood to take away our sins, to set us free. Did the same thing for the nation of Israel as he did for you and for me, the Gentile church. That's what we're talking about here. Got a couple verses of scripture we need to look at. Ephesians. We're in the New Testament now for a little bit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He has purchased us with his precious blood. Wonderful. The 17th verse of that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. He is calling us. He has paid for us. And he calls us out. He comes seeking the lost. Matthew 16, verse 26. Matthew 16, 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's your priorities? Have you given your heart to Jesus? Have you turned to him? Have you called upon him to save you? Or have you bought into the things of the world and thinking they're more important? He's paid for you. Matthew chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. Matthew chapter 12. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my spirit is well pleased, I will put my spirit into him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. The joy of coming by faith to the Lord Jesus. This pearl. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking a goodly pearl. Jesus is seeking whom he may save. Who will listen? He will take the Gentile bride, which is the New Testament church. He will save them. We got several verses of scripture here to look at, but first, the pearl is a perfect example of the New Testament church, the true church, because you see, it has no division. It has no seams. It is a picture of perfect unity. A pearl is not formed by man, by some mechanical device. A pearl is formed by a Christian, by slow growth, one at a time. And this addition is made and formed by the Holy Spirit and is made possible by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And let's look at some verses of Scripture. But you think about that, how the pearl is made. It's made by one little particle at a time. The church is built upon one soul at a time. The church is a wonderful living organism. And the Lord Jesus Christ has brought it together by his Spirit, and we're in unity of one. We're a living being. We're not some religious organization. If you've become some religious organization, then you have missed what Jesus wants us to have and to be. Now, again, I have some verses of Scripture. We're not going to get through all of them. We'll start here next time. But we will go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 15, I'm not even going to get this one read. We're going to start here next time. Acts chapter 15, beginning to read with the 13th verse. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Now we're going to start there next time. Time goes so quickly. I want you to hear, I want you to see, I want you to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and show you're lost. And then the question will come, what are you going to do about Jesus?